All right, welcome to the Kank Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Nolch, and I'm sipping a tea right now, so when you hear this noise, don't think anything's wrong, that's just me sipping a tea. All right, so this is a podcast where I just talk for an hour about whatever things come up. It's completely unplanned. I think it's something interesting to listen to while you're working. Let's just see what happens. I don't expect that much from it, but yeah, I definitely reckon it's good to just listen to by painting a wall or something like that. I heard a little bit about Socrates, the philosopher, the Greek philosopher, earlier today, and seemed pretty interesting because his life seemed really similar to Jesus in that, like, he was this, like, smart sort of teacher sort of guy, and he just exposed all these people who were in positions of power in the society they were living in at the time, and just pissed off a lot of people because he was right about things, and then eventually just got executed for crimes that just sort of no crimes, and he just got executed. So that's our legal systems that we live in, because they still haven't really changed that much today as well. People can get in trouble for things that they just shouldn't get in trouble for. So with the Socrates thing, apparently there was some oracle, which is some like wise, some person who like speak to the gods or something. So back in those days, there was this oracle person, and the oracle said that Socrates was the wisest person in the town or something, in Athens or whatever, and Socrates was like, what the hell, why am I the wisest? And then he looked into it, and he noticed a lot of the people who were supposedly wise just weren't wise and didn't even know anything and were just acting like it and just saying, oh, well, this is this and blah, 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 and I'm right. And then he would ask them more questions and look into it, and then he would find out, like, scientifically, that the person was wrong about the things they were talking about. Like, they would say, oh, happiness comes from drinking lots of alcohol or something like that. Just the things that I was saying just weren't right. And then he was like, oh, now I get why the oracle was saying I'm the wise one, because I am. All these other people don't even know that they're not wise, but they think they're wise. That's how dumb they are. And they're just acting like they're smart when they're not smart, like all these other high-up people. And Jesus, when Jesus was around, it was a similar sort of thing where he came along. And the priests and apparently the lawyers and the high up people in society, he highlighted them for how wrong they are and how they were going about things the wrong way, and how they weren't really that moral. Like the priest would act like he's really good and he'd be like, oh, I'm a priest and everything. And it was just in looks. He wasn't actually that connected with God, and he wasn't actually a really good person, like some of them. So Jesus really pissed off people, so eventually ended up getting executed because he was just being like living this crazy lifestyle. And Socrates had a similar thing happen where, as well, like he just pissed off all these people because he was just telling the truth. And so that's just kind of interesting. It's just like Jesus was a more spectacular version of Socrates, and like a whole religion came from where Socrates was just like, I think, a little bit of a religion or like a philosophical movement came from Socrates. Anyway, well, that's pretty random how they get onto that. The big idea that Socrates was saying was really interesting was that lots of people think they know stuff, but they don't. And Socrates would go around questioning just everyday folk and the people high up as well about things. And then, like, he just discovered that the people just didn't know things and they just were acting like they knew things. And that's kind of what goes on a bit in this world at the moment. Lots of people say things and they act like they know stuff, but then, like, you kind of ask them deep down, just like they don't know. Anyway, I don't even want to go into this topic. It's really not that interesting. But this was something I was going to do last week, but I ended up going off onto something. But I wanted to go read through the news. So I'm just at news.com.au. Oh, this is interesting. He says Kevin Rudd was megalomaniac, ex-Labor MP and Midnight Oil frontman Peter Garrett tells Sunday Night. Ooh, so Peter Garrett is telling Sunday Night that Kevin Rudd was megalomaniac or something. Hold on a second. Okay, I don't want the ad to come up and fucking ads. You know, it's pretty annoying. Okay, so let's just look up what megalomaniac means, because what is it then? Obsession with the exercise of power, megalomania, delusion about one's own power or importance. Ah, see, this is what I was just talking about, wasn't it? See how I said, this is what's going on, this is what's still going on, the world is going on in the ancient Greeks and in Jesus' time. And then now, still now. And we go to the news, one of the first things that come up is this thing that I was talking about. So megalomania, like your obsession with like being powerful, you're obsessed with power, and you also think that you're really important and powerful. And so when Socrates was going around, all these people were saying, oh, I know this, and all these higher people, oh, I know that, and, oh, I'm so smart. And so, like, they really think they're important, but then he looked into it and was like, you guys don't know what you're talking about. You're not smart. You're just acting like you're smart. And then the masses of people who don't really know what's going on, just simple-minded people, they think this person's smart because this person acts like it. You know what I mean? But the person isn't smart. And, in fact, what the person does is they talk, and what they say actually doesn't make sense because they're not smart. And the person, the average person, hears it, doesn't understand it, and then thinks, oh, well, that's because I'm dumb, and then just continues with the day. But it's just like, no, what that person was saying doesn't make any sense. The person's actually dumb. You know what I mean? That's why it was really good when you read lots of Socrates quotes or something like that. They're very simple, and they're, like, straightforward, and they make sense. And you come across some other philosophers who just want to be Socrates or whatever, and they have these like complex quotes that don't really make any sense, and they're just trying to sound smart and use big fancy words. All right, so it says here in the news that Peter Garrett is saying that Rudd was one of these people who thinks he's really good, and I knew that already, yeah, because I noticed that Kevin Rudd, you know, wore a suit and was all proper and would like speak nicely, and he would try and speak Chinese and be like, oh, I can speak Chinese. And he just like, but he had no substance. I could just tell, like, when he was going for the prime minister in 2007, he got voted in. I was real upset about that. But when he was going to become the prime minister, I could just tell that he just wasn't a smart person. There was something not quite right there. You know, I didn't know he was a megalomaniac. You know, that's what people who are, you know, who are close to him would really be able to know. But just from what I've seen on TV and stuff of Kevin Rudd, like, he just seemed like someone who just was all talk but no actual substance. He wasn't actually smart. And what they do is these politicians who are like these people who are just megalomaniacs, it's really interesting because Bill Shorten does it as well. He'll go, I'm going to be the leader of the Labor Party, and under my government, Australia is going to be strong, and Australia is going to look after women. Australia is going to blah 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 blah. And he delivers this whole passionate speech, and after the end of it, I'm just thinking, what is he going to do when he gets into power? Because he hasn't actually said any of the things he's going to do. He's not saying, I'm going to do specifically this or do specifically that. He just has all these airy, fairy, fluffy, fluffy, fancy sound things like impassionate, like, oh, I'm going to do this for Australia, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the day, it's just like, if he gets in power, I don't know what he's actually going to do. Like, he doesn't say, I'm going to cut spending in blah, 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 blah to help the budget, or I'm going to increase spending on ambulances, or I'm going to increase taxes. He had no specific things to say. When Bill Shorten went to go give his speech, he just said all these things that were just like, you know, we're going to be a government that looks after women. And it's just like, well, what are you going to do to look after women? What's your policy for that? You know what I mean? And so the average person just listens to it and hears it and thinks, oh, okay. But then someone who's really switched on and is smart about about politics and stuff sees it and goes, well, this guy sounds like a moron because he's just talking all this stuff, and it's just like, where's his actual policies? He's not saying any of his policies. And so with Bill Shorten, he's another one of them. He's just like another one of these Kevin Rudd wannabes. All right, so this is what the start of it says. It says, former Labor Minister Peter Garrett has stood by labelling former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd a power-hungry megalomaniac and has slammed his unbelievably poor treatment of Julia Gillard. Well, I don't blame him for treating Julia Gillard bad, because she's just like a female version of Kevin Rudd. They're very similar. Mr. Garrett, 62 years old, makes the scathing assessment of the ousted Labor leader in his biography, Big Blue Sky, which is set to be released on Wednesday. Okay, it's interesting. Yeah, so he's just highlighting, he's saying, because he wasn't part of the Labor Party when Kevin Rudd was leader, and he's saying how bad Kevin Rudd was. He goes, Rudd wasn't someone who was easy to work with in that way, and his vanity and his exercise of power as Prime Minister was contrary ultimately to me, to what good leadership is. He was a megalomaniac. I am not the only one to think it either. So I am critical of him, that's true. I'm very critical, but for good reasons. He goes, his career is a series of passionate embraces of issues that he then walks away from, of, you know, running government one way in a certain direction and turning around and heading off another direction a couple of days later. Yeah, because what he does is he doesn't actually really care about any of the issues. He's just doing whatever he can to get into power. So he would say this and say that and say, well, I'm passionate about this thing, and just be all an act. And then he would just suddenly change it and just does whatever to keep into power. So, I mean, yeah, that's good that Peter Garrett backs up what I thought about Kevin Rudd. Yeah, he's just one of these people. Like, if Kevin Rudd was around in ancient Greek in Socrates' time, Kevin Rudd would be going, I know what's the best way to run a government. Yes, the state should be like this, and they should blah, blah, blah. And then, Socrates would come along and ask about, ask Kevin Rudd questions, and then, Kevin Rudd would he would just prove all Kevin Rudd's points wrong, because he'd go, how do you run a government, blah, 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 Kevin Rudd would say. And then, Socrates would just highlight that Kevin Rudd doesn't know anything, he just thinks he knows anything. All right, sorry about that, I've just been a little bit distracted. I had a V energy drink earlier, so I'm supposed to be on fire, but I just like the taste of it, but I probably won't be on fire. I'm not that passionate about things that much. Things are the way they are. You just got to do whatever you can to solve them. All right, so that's the first article, which is pretty interesting. And let's look at the world news. And the first thing says, lawnmower explodes in woman's face. Now, sorry, I know some people might get sensitive about these sort of things. I kind of laugh at that sort of stuff. Like, I know it's wrong, but it just, to me, it puts a smile on my face. Like, I hope she's all right and stuff, but I just see title, lawnmower explodes in woman's face, and it's just wrong. It's just silly. It's like out of a, I don't know, Bugs Bunny cartoon, so I just find it funny. Okay, this says here, the people who talk to voices in their heads. So this sounds interesting. All right, so what's this article about? Amanda Waegeli had been hearing voices since she was a teenager. So when she went into hospital to have her seventh child, she was comforted to have the Virgin Mary speak to her. Whoa, this is pretty out there stuff. Let's read this. But after she went into cardiac arrest on the operating table and had three blood transfusions, literally dying for a few short moments, things turned darker. Wow, so it seems like she had a near-death experience or something. After a few weeks in intensive care, I was physically fine but mentally distorted, she told News.com. The voices were loud and confusing in a negative way. It was hard for me to discern what was real. They said it had been a mistake. I was supposed to die. That's interesting. Wow. She spoke to some people when she had a near-death experience, some angels or something. Amanda was put into psychiatric care, dosed with heavy medication and given electric convulsive therapy. Oh, no. That is so wrong. This is like the lawnmower exploding in the person's face. But that was an accident. But this is worse. So she hears voices in her head, right? Then they're just like, yeah, we've got to give her heaps of drugs, which will give her side effects and stuff and send her even more crazy. And let's just zap her mind with some electricity. Yeah, that'll solve the problem. Whoa, okay. How unlucky. All right, if anyone's listening and they hear voices in their head, don't go to a doctor because they'll do something like that to you. She was diagnosed with postpartum psychosis. That means that after you give birth, you go crazy pretty much. That word, postpartum psychosis. And later, clinical depression and bipolar disorder. Oh, okay. Bipolar means you go up and down. You're a bit, like, you're sad in one moment, then you're really excited next. Okay, the longer you're in the system, so she's got, the doctors have told her she's crazy and shit. Okay, the longer you're in the system, the more diagnoses you get. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, she knows all about it, doesn't she? Despite being compliant, I wasn't getting much relief. I was just hampered by side effects. Well, that doesn't surprise me. You got a bit zapped by electricity. I mean, I know this sounds a bit wild, but I've been zapped by electricity in the fingers and that sort of stuff, and I reckon it'd be really interesting to get zapped in the head, to be honest. Like, the effect it would have is, I mean, on the hands. Like, when I got zapped in my hand, it was like, ooh, like, this really weird sensation. It's like really fast vibration. So in the head, you'd be like, ooh. I think it would definitely, slow down my mind. Definitely make me a bit like, what? It'll probably give me twitches or something after. I'd be like, ooh. All right. Eventually, Amanda heard about the Hearing Voices Network, a global support group that operates in 25 countries and was established in Australia 10 years ago. The network takes a radically different approach to that of traditional mental health services, encouraging people to listen to their voices instead of trying to block them out. Oh, that's interesting. Wow, listen to the voices. Yeah, that's kind of like the bright side of it. Like, if you hear voices and that, you get that extra bonus of entertainment or something, you know. It's a bit more, if you're waiting in a bus stop, you can just sort of be like, oh, what are these voices saying and stuff. Imagine if you had, like, you know, like Oprah's voice in your head. Wouldn't that be interesting? You know, I mean, it wouldn't be nice if it was like a devil or something talking to you or whatever, but if it was just cool things, like imagine you had like Jerry Seinfeld in your head, like telling you jokes or some shit. That'd be pretty funny. I wonder what sort of people she had talking to her. If they had interest, like imagine just, if there was just someone with a French accent or like an English accent, like, hello, governor, how you doing? And like you're sitting there, and he's got these voices coming to head. Hello, governor, it's a little bit nippy, isn't it? You just feel like, what the hell? Like, that'd be funny anyway. Amanda met with the group in Perth and began exploring her voices, getting to know the characteristics and personality of each one. As an adolescent, wow, so this is what I'm talking about. My God, I was just saying that. Like, you know, they have personalities and they have characteristics of the voices and stuff, and she's getting to talk to them. Hopefully they go on to say what sort of personality the voices had. As an adolescent, she had heard two female voices, one reassuring and the other rebellious. Well, that's kind of, she had a little rebellious voice commanding her to fight. That's interesting. Sometimes the voices were distressing. At other times, they were helpful and gave her guidance. Oh, that's a whole nother element. Imagine if you had voices that just, like, told you which way to go in the traffic. They're just like, yeah, yeah, go that way. There's no traffic there and you're lost or whatever. And they go, no, you're in this suburb. Like, I didn't know how cool that would be. See, voices in your head, you can say, is crazy, not that good. But if you got good voices, then that's pretty cool. And if you could flick through, yeah, anyway, it's pretty cool. this is the sort of stuff that maybe science fiction will get into in the future, and that, like, one day you go to, like, some people and you pay them and they just install, like, a guidance voice in your head. And so, like when you, instead of having Navman in your car, you just press, you just go in your, you go in your head and you press, like, a button behind your head, and then the guidance voice kicked in and you go to it, well, how do I get to blah, blah, and the guidance voice goes, turn left here. And then you just go along with that. Or you're like, you just want to ask it a question. You're like, what's the capital of China? And he goes, ding, ding, Beijing. Like, it's kind of cool. All right. Okay. And it says, facing up to her demons, Amanda realized they had begun speaking to her shortly after she was sexually abused. Oh. I wouldn't have thought so at the time, but now I can connect it with what's happened to me and see the significance. Wow, that's really interesting. Wow. This is an extremely common experience among voice hearers. As many as 79% of cases can be linked with trauma. So I guess trauma is just bad experience. Like, yeah, like, wow, trauma. Yeah, really distressing moment. So they go through a real distressing moment and they hear voices in their head afterwards. Okay. Ron Coleman, who bought the movement from Scotland to Australia in 2005, had been in and out of hospital for 12 years for chronic schizophrenia and had 40 courses of ECT. Whoa. You know what? What, the first three didn't work? No, they didn't, because they don't work. Yeah, it looks like the ECT was really working, huh? Didn't stop his voices. He was on a cocktail of antipsychotic medication and would hang around the train station shouting at the abusive voices. Ooh, you deserve to burn in hell, one would tell him. Oh, that's a mean voice. I remember I saw some guy once who was on, like, at one time, like, six or seven psychiatric drugs at one time. It's just like, whoa. That's a lot of, you know, psychiatric drugs. Sometimes you see, like, a psychiatric person, patient or whatever, a nutty person, and you don't realize that you're just seeing side effects of the drugs and shit. That's not the person, you know what I mean? So it's just like you think, oh, that person's crazy or whatever. But you're just like, no, that person's suffering from side effects. You know what I mean? You think that's their craziness. All right. Then he said here, then one day he went to a HVM meeting and was told, your voices are real. It was a revelation. He began to remember that it was a Catholic priest who abused him, who had told him he should burn in hell. Oh, wow, that's interesting. Wow. Okay. Can't get over the memory of it. This news.com's not bad articles and stuff. Studies have shown that around 4% of the world's population hear voices, although depending on the definition, this can rise to around 10%. Nathan Grixley from Victoria officially heard his first voices at 21, but he remembers having similar experiences aged just 3 or 4. Words or language don't do it justice. Okay? It's like describing colours to people who can't see. Often for me, I don't hear voices so much as I experience older perceptions of the world around me. Alright? At 22, Nathan found himself in the mental health system with doctors using words like psychosis and treating him as though he was sick. It was a frightening experience, he said. To me, it didn't feel like something was wrong. While I was definitely going through a time of disorientation and adjustment to an emerging part of myself, my experiences of altered states felt like the most natural and amazing thing in the world. Yeah, it's interesting. So some people, like that John Edwards guy, can talk to the dead and stuff. Like, that's proven you can do it. He's not a con man or anything. You legitimately can communicate to people who passed away. Some people, I guess, have that ability, and then they think they're going crazy, or the doctors think there's something wrong with them. Like, they're going psychotic, but it's not the case. They just got these special abilities. Like, he says, he goes, it felt like the most natural and amazing thing in the world when it was going to these things. That's cool. It was other people's reactions that caused problems for Nathan. Friends and family didn't understand his behaviour and were uncomfortable discussing the voices in his head. When he told them he was communicating as people do with angels or God, they were perhaps understandably worried. He quickly became isolated and unable to speak to anybody about what he was going through without people reinforcing the notion he was psychotic. Wow, that's interesting. So there's lots of people who are probably can do this, like John Edwards and stuff, and they either try and ignore it, they think they're crazy, or they don't tell anyone because they don't want other people thinking they're crazy. So the people haven't come out in the closet on these things because they don't want people to think they're crazy. It's interesting, you know. There's lots of people who are hiding in the closet, you know. It's not just gays that need to come out of the closet. It's just people who believe in aliens, people who are conspiracy theorists, people who have these special abilities to talk to people who have passed on, or God or something like that. So a lot more people just need to come out of the closet, really. I just need to harden up. Okay. For Nathan, it was the language of spirituality, religion and magic that most closely reflected his experience, but he needed a different way to understand it. There's a huge history and context around voice hearers and mysticism. A lot of my voice experiences offered insight into myself and deeper philosophical questions about the world. Communicating with the voices would bring me knowledge, but it also meant that in our contemporary understanding of the world, I would struggle to find a way to explain myself and others what was happening. Yeah, it's interesting because it's like you've got words to describe things, but if what you experience, if you get some sort of experience that's out of this world in some other dimension, there's no words to describe it because it's just totally out there. It's kind of like you have a movie, right, and you go, let's make a science fiction movie where in the movie they go into another dimension, and in the movie you can't show what the dimension's like because it's so different to this. There's nothing in this world that you can make to put into the movie to show people what the other dimension's like. You just can't show it because it's completely not like what anything you've ever seen. So that's really interesting, huh? Because apparently there's other dimensions and stuff, and like scientists are looking into it. He says sometimes his experiences give him insight into things he didn't think he knew. Looking up the details up after hearing a voice to find out what it had said was true. Well, that's interesting. Checks that the voices are right. Okay, Nathan, who now works as program manager of Voices Vic with Uniting Care Paran Mission, allied with the Hearing Voices Network Australia, says joining the group helped him to start engaging with the voices safely and positively, and he now has a supportive partner, friends and family, although there are still some with whom he can't discuss his voices. All right, now, I was saying news.com seems pretty good, right? And this is an example of where not only is it a sort of interesting article, but it's also the way it's written is kind of clear. And you can understand what they're saying. There's some people who, like I said at the start of the podcast, you try and think they're special and smart and stuff, and they end up, you know, writing for newspapers and stuff, and they just write these fluff articles that just, like, use big words and sounds fancy, and at the end of the day, you read it, and it's like, what point was this person trying to get across? Like, they just use these confusing sentences and long words and stuff. And at the end of the day, the person has nothing interesting to say, but they have nothing interesting to say. They don't really have any point on the article. They're just filling up paper, and you read it, and you don't quite get it. And you think the situation that the person's describing is strange, or you think that you're dumb, but just the wording of it's just terrible, and the person's got no point to say. And it's just ridiculous. And usually because the people who write this sort of articles are idiots anyway. What the actual article is about in itself is usually something that's just stupid. But literally, I mean, I could pull out articles and show you ones by these sort of people. They tend to get into the media a fair bit, writing and stuff. Lynn Mayboob. So this article here is like, actually got a point to it. It's talking about this, people who hear voices in their head, and it's clearly written, and it's not using big fancy words. And so this is a news.com thing. It seems like a good website. Lynn Mayboob works as strategic recovery advisor and liaison at Richmond Wellbeing in Western Australia, where the formal Australian movement started. The network was unfunded for years, although the WA Hearing Voices Network has gained some government support in recent years. Lynn, who had her first major experience at 16, has mainly visions, and something she described as heard thought, and later came to realize her experiences came under the umbrella of voice hearing. Well, so it's not even a matter of them just hearing a voice, it's just some of them just have something else happen, and it's kind of like hearing voices. It's kind of interesting. The former enrolled nurse and lecturer in mental health recovery at Curtin University says the mainstream biomedical psychiatry community can have a reductionist view of what hearing voices mean. Okay, I guess reductionist is like reducing. Oh, it's just like, it's a complex thing that happens, this voice hearing, and they just reduce it to, oh, you're hearing voices in your head, when it's like, nah, it's more going on than that. You know what I mean? So it's interesting. In speaking with other voice hearers in 2006, she found her experiences tallied with those that were discussed. Tallied? All right. Yeah, it's a kind of shit fancy word. I mean, why would you put in the word like tallied with those that were discussed? Anyway, I think it just agreed with those that were discussed. I realized there is a vast array of hearing experiences inside and outside the head. Well, that's okay. So sometimes I hear a voice inside the head, other times I hear a voice outside. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? She says one important element of the hearing voices approach is voice dialogue, trying to change your relationship with the voices. It's like being in a bad relationship. You have two options: put up with it and distract yourself with an affair, or work with the relationship. Okay. If you realize you can do something, you're not a victim of a broken brain, as many have been told. If meaning is given to you by someone else, you stop looking to make your own sense of things. Yeah, you should make a sense of the voices and find out for yourself what's going on with them. When Lynn was a nurse, she treated patients who heard voices very differently. We didn't go into the content. If you did, you were told you were buying into the delusion. This left the person alone to deal with the abusive content. Now, so some of the doctors are saying just ignore the voices and they'll go away, that sort of thing. Which I guess, you know, if that's if you want them to go away, then do that. And if it works, then ignore them. But if it doesn't work by ignoring them, like, why not just pay them attention? Like, anyway, we're moving away from the secrecy. If people in a hospital said to the nurses, the voices say to kill you, if they aren't trained in the HV approach, they can be fearful and not know how to respond helpfully. In a peer support group, you can say, it's so distressing and difficult when I'm trying to do the dishes and my voices are waxing lyrical about killing my neighbours. And others in the group can emphasise rather than fear the person. Often people come to realise that they are just perhaps angry and it is being expressed by the voice. They can then work on their anger. Rufus May, famous maverick psychologist from the UK, or a rebel, was a rebel psychologist, is a maverick. Maverick means a rebel. Fancy word. But at least it's not like, you know, like some of the other people. Often says, challenging or difficult voices can be messengers about difficult emotions that we are disconnected from and the life events that relate to this. They can be ambassadors for buried thoughts and feelings. No, so they're like, the voices are buried thoughts people have that are coming up and talking to them. Got to address these buried thoughts they have. The people who live well with their voices are those who see themselves as stronger than the voices, who set limits and have understanding. Their voices are less commanding and aggressive. Yeah, so they can take on the voices. All right, just check. Okay, more than halfway through the podcast. I like this reading of the news thing. This is kind of interesting. I don't have to put in much effort. But, I mean, it's like I've done, like, what, six now, and then I really got some political stuff. That's six. That's like 7 hours worth of podcasting of talking about political stuff, you know. And there's just all this immediate stuff in the first few podcasts that needed to get addressed. I had so much emotion about, and it's just ridiculous what's going on. And I had to voice about them, like the shootings in America and that sort of stuff and vaccines. Now it's just reached a point where it's just like I've kind of covered most of the things that need to get done. But yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's like Donald Trump in the presidential campaign, he mentioned about vaccines harming kids. And Dr. Carson, the guy who's running for president as well, he suggested that, there could be too many vaccines to given to them at too young an age. And then Donald Trump said, yeah, that's what I've been saying, which he was saying. So it's good because they're talking about these things because too many kids are getting harmed by them. But, other people will go out there and be protesting the use of coal. And it's like, okay, fair enough. But it's just like, there might be more important things, like kids getting permanently damaged for the rest of their life from vaccines. But no, they'll go out and they'll be like, yeah, coal's dirty, oh, let's ban coal. And it's just like, man, how come you don't know about these other things like vaccines? Serious. And I'll tell you why. Because it's been so well hidden, the bad side effects. If they really got they'll look at the kids that, some kid who died who was a refugee, and I'm like, oh, and just be like, but they don't realize that some kid died from a vaccine, And it's just like the media need to run propaganda on vaccines as opposed to propaganda on refugees and stuff. They just show pictures of kids harmed by and get people really upset about them. Then all these other people who are, obsessed about, ban coal or whatever, suddenly they'll start going, and they'll start protesting vaccines as well. The media have a lot of power. They brainwash the whole of the society. They have a big thing to do with everything. Like they literally brainwash the whole of the society. They can get you can go out to the media, right? And say, right, I want everyone to believe that that we found aliens on the moon. And the media go, okay, cool. And you spread it around all the media. And if all the media release news reports saying there's blue men found on the moon and they show pictures of it, you can get a whole world thinking that there's blue men on the moon. Like practically the whole world, besides the people who have actually part of NASA who actually saw that there wasn't any blue men on the moon. You know what I mean? And you walk around and everyone's like, yeah, you seen the blue men? Everyone goes, yeah, the blue men on the moon and stuff. And it's just like, wow. Like you can brainwash a whole society into thinking a certain way with the media. And that's what they've been doing. And they've been spreading, when it comes to vaccines, they've been spreading information saying vaccines are health safe and they're not causing autism, blah, blah, and they're trying to brainwash the whole of the society. It's just everyone doesn't buy into it though, because, people see the side effects. They see straight after he gets a vaccine, they get harmed. So it's just interesting how the media can just, how much power it has. You don't need to hypnotize someone or make them live in some little cult out in the bush and something and brainwash them there. You can have them living in a normal society, and if you just do enough news reports on something, you can brainwash a whole society. And it's just interesting, you put out all the news reports, blah, 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 and then people come along and they write their articles in newspapers and then people talk about it to their friends. And then you can stop even running the news reports and that thing will keep on spreading for years and it'll just be around and then eventually it's just permanent. Bam, everyone thinks that this is what's true. Anyway, it's really interesting. Okay. All right. In traditional... Get back to the article. Sorry, it's just... the media, they need to start reporting on just nice news all the time. That's part of the reason why I'm going to news.com and reading this out and not talking about any negative things. Well, I don't think I have much more to say about the negativeness anyway of the world. It's just like, this is how it is. Like I said, there's a percentage of the population who are morons and they're only a small percent, but they're causing the problems and tricking everyone and stuff. And they work in the media and that sort of stuff. That's how it is. You just got to keep working to improve things and stuff. But, news should be positive. Like, it's just pretty much it. It should be negative news. Because news just focus so much on the negative. But there's so much positive. All right, so this is more interesting and stuff, this piece of news. All right, so back to the article. So I think from a lot of the podcasts that will be coming in the future, now there'll be more positive stuff. All right. In traditional tribal or spiritual cultures, hearing voices is seen as a gift to a shaman, priest, or seer. They're just high up people in other cultures and stuff, like the chief of a tribe or something. A recent study by Stanford University, which interviewed 60 people. Some people are so funny, like they would hear what I just said then when I said shaman, priest, or seer, and I just said, oh, it sounds like some chief in a tribe, and they'll go, no, it's not. I'll show you the definition of shaman and a priest and a seer, and that's not a chief of a tribe. Some people have like a button on that. You know what I mean? Like it pushes their buttons, and I'd say that. And it's just like, I know that they're not a chief of the tribe, but that's sort of like, I'm just giving a quick idea of what those words mean, like what that idea is saying. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's saying here, hearing voices is seen as a gift to these people that are like kind of like high up in other cultures. So like the chief in the Indian tribe, or like the tribal leader in some African tribe, or some leader of some Aboriginal tribe. It's just that idea. But some people are just like think robotically and are just that crazy that they would listen to me saying that line and they'll go, oh, this Andy Nolch guy is a dickhead. Like, look at him. He just reduced all those words to like a leader saying that they're a chief, and that's just wrong. It's just like, I know that. I'm just trying to get the idea across, you know? I know a shaman is like some, there's more to a shaman. It's like some spiritual guy in an Indian tribe or something like that, you know, but you just say chief. People just get the idea by just saying chief, okay? Anyway, it's just funny because just some people are just so like pedantic and stuff. I'm used to it because I'm in the media and that. You'd say something and some people, they're usually negative people, they'll go, oh, you said that wrong or whatever, and they just pick faults and things and they're so negative in that. And usually people are happy and they're just like, whatever, like they get what I'm saying, where it's just like, yeah, whatever, chief is fine. But anyway, just interesting how people are different and how they think and stuff. All right. A recent study by Stanford University, which interviewed 60 people living with schizophrenia in the US, India, and Guyana, found that those from... Oh, yeah, they're also funny as well because they get annoyed when you pronounce words wrong and when you, use wrong grammar and stuff. It's a similar sort of thing. Like, they just, like, just they just don't like it and just like, okay, whatever, I don't care. Okay. Blah, 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 found that those from India and Guyana were less likely to label themselves schizophrenic. They were more likely to take a positive perspective on their imaginary voices, seeing them as advisory, helpful, and friendly. Yeah, so it's like the countries that aren't from Western see the voices as being more like a good thing, and the countries that are Western are seeing it as a bad thing because Western society has been taken over by people who are materialists, and materialists believe in just material, and they believe in anything spiritual. They don't think there's any other dimension or anything. They just think it's just this rock hard earth and all these hard objects, it's all material, and there's nothing that's outside of that, like God or spirits or ghosts or anything outside of that. It's like, nah, blah blah blah, this is all there is. And that's their religion, like the materialists. Literally, they have their own religion. They full on hardcore believe in it, like Richard Dawkins and stuff. Whereas, you know, of course there are material stuff, but it's just like there's so much evidence that suggests other dimensions and that the like some sort of God thing exists and all this other sort of stuff that's going on. So it's just like you can't just believe that there's just what you see going on. I think the best example is like there's radio waves or whatever going through the air right now, but you just can't see them. But they're there. And, like, the internet's around us. You can't see it, but it's there, you know? And so it's just not everything's stuff that you can see and measure on, like, a meter or something. Okay, so, yeah, so the Western society's been taken over by these materialist scientists and stuff. They're just totally smashed anything sort of spiritual, whereas in India and Guyana, they're more likely to accept spiritual stuff. And in India, there's a man that's lived for, like, 70 years without eating any food or water. Serious. He just meditates and he apparently looks at the sun and stuff, and he just gets energy from the sun or something. And 70 years without eating or drinking any water, and he's alive and he's like totally fine. It's amazing. He's like 80 years old now. And so the Indian scientists investigated him for like 10 days, and locked him up in a room and made sure he didn't eat or drink anything. And they go, yeah. And then they conclude at the end of it, this dude can live without eating or drinking water. It's amazing. And then, you know, you get some materialist Western scientists, so-called scientists, they just call themselves out. It's just, it's not true. They go, oh, this is a dodgy experiment. This isn't true. This, everyone knows you have to eat food to survive and all this sort of stuff. And whereas the Indian scientists are a bit more spiritual, a bit more, you know, willing to admit that there's more going on in the world you can't see that could be why this guy is staying alive without eating. The Western's like, no, there's nothing spiritual, blah, 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 blah. Interesting, you know. We need to fix up the Western society, take it back and make it a bit more spiritual and that. Get it back to the truth of what's actually going on. I mean, if you don't believe in ghosts, then you just got to see the evidence, you know? That seriously, they exist. You speak to a lot of people about them, they see them. You know, I know it's, it sounds out there, but just go where the evidence leads you and that. But they're not willing to even investigate it. Like, the ones that were criticising the Indian doctor's experiments of this guy, they technically should have packed their bags and flown over to India and straight away tried to experiment with him. But they won't. They're just like, no, it's ridiculous, blah, 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 and they're not willing to investigate it. Anyway, Amanda, who now lives in Queensland, still hears her original two voices and several more, but she wouldn't necessarily be rid of them. Some are precious to her. Oh, so she wants to have the voices. While receiving psychiatric treatment, her marriage and relationships... See, look, I knew psychiatry was dodgy and shit with the electric shock and the drugs and stuff, but reading this article just made me even realise it just even more. Like, it's just talking about people getting zapped and stuff and just for saying they hear voices in their head and giving them all these drugs. And it's just like, this article here doesn't put a positive spin on psychiatry. All right. It just says it how it is because they're just not really doing much of a good job, or we could easily do without them. While receiving psychiatric treatment, her marriage and relationships with her children broke down and they are no longer part of her life. So she'd be getting psychiatric treatment and things in her life just got worse. That's what it's saying. At the same time, things got worse. You know, it's a bit of a sign that maybe the treatment isn't going too well. It's not helping her. Amanda's ex-husband found the burden of knowing she would need treatment and medication for life was too much. Well, you know, it's interesting because it's like, why do you need these things for life? Can't you just cure someone's problem and that's it? Like a heart surgeon just cure. Stitch it up the heart and it's done. But the psychiatry thing, it's just like, you know, well, sorry, we can't cure the problem. You're going to have to come and pay us for the rest of your life and be our customer for the rest of your life. So they call them patient, but in other words, you could change the word to customer. You know what I mean? Like, it could be like, you go visit your friend in hospital and they could say, yes, we've got your friend Nick Jones, who's our customer number 4 instead of patient number 4. Like, you know what I mean? It's true. I mean, that's what, you know, a doctor is a job, you know, and he's customers are the patients, and with my work, I do handyman work during the daytime and that, you know, I refer to my, I don't say client, I think it just sounds a bit too fancy, I'd say customer, because it is, they're buying something from me, they're buying my services, and the person who's sick is buying the services of the doctor, so customer is really a better word to say someone who's in the hospital. And if you have that attitude as well, if you call them customer, when you rock up to get help from doctors and that, you have a bit more of a customer's rights of attitude and you go there. And if you didn't get fixed from the doctor, you'd just be like, hey, I'm the customer. I paid for this. I expect more. But when you're a patient, it's a bit more like you don't have that attitude as much. People are like more willing to leave hospital in a worse condition. It's okay. Okay. If she had known about the hearing voices approach, she thinks things might have been different. Okay. She hopes one day to see her children again, but for now, she hears their voices in her head. Wow. Okay, that's kind of sad. Like, they just... Oh, let's just read that again, because that's pretty... This is bad news. This finishes off upsetting this article. Because Amanda, who now lives in Queensland, still hears her original two voices and several more, but she wouldn't necessarily be rid of them. Some are precious to her. Okay. While receiving psychiatric treatment, her marriage and relationships with her children broke down, and they're no longer part of her life. So that's pretty upsetting, man. Amanda's ex-husband found the burden of knowing she would need treatment and medication for life was too much, and she doesn't. And she said she doesn't blame him. So her family just abandoned her when she went crazy and stuff. It's not really nice in that, you know, but I guess how it is. If she had known about the hearing voices approach, she thinks she might have been different now. She hopes one day to see her children again, but for now, she hears their voices in her head. Oh, that's pretty sad end off a good article. Like, she just got abandoned and stuff. Not good. Not good. All right. So, let's go into something from the world news. Oh my god, I only got 10 minutes to go. Okay. Alright. They just keep on seeing the article that says lawnmower explodes in woman's face. Come on, it sounds pretty interesting. I'm going to click on it then. A teacher who works with disabled children has undergone her third operation and is in intensive care after a lawnmower exploded in her face. Blah, blah, 31, flown to Cook Islands, where she was on life support to New Zealand after the freak accident. Delaney, who worked with disabled children at a school in Rotorua, suffered serious burns to her face and upper body when the lawnmower exploded. Okay, how did it explode? Her brother, Jordan, set up a give a little bit account to fund the medical flight to blah, blah, blah. Okay. Nikki says, okay, let's find out how it blew up. Tell us the interesting information. Well, all right. Just didn't say how the lawnmower exploded in the face. Like, I don't know. I've used lawnmowers, I haven't seen. I don't get wild to explode in the face. Okay, look, you've got Singapore Airline plane collapses at Changi Airport during landing checks. Oh, wow. Singapore Airlines plane has collapsed and engine conductor routine and checks for... Oh, gosh, what a boring piece of news. Okay, so the airplane crashed for whatever reason before it even took off. Well, that's good. At least it didn't crash in the air. Okay, I just... Okay, so it's got here Israeli bomb kills mum and child. Okay. An Israeli airstrike in Gaza killed a pregnant woman and her toddler as a Palestinian woman set off a bomb in the West Bank on Sunday in the first such attack in over a week of violence. So Israeli is a government. They're shooting someone. It's not good. Yeah, good luck with that. Yeah, let's keep on... The Middle East is just crazy. They just keep on fighting all the time. Okay, they just need to just... become peaceful and just give up the whole thing. Gosh, this podcast seems like it's been a really boring one today. I found the article pretty interesting. The first two articles were good. Maybe what I'll do in the future is I'll just read two articles that... seem good. I'll look through and I'll see if there's a good article and then I'll read it out and stuff. Okay, here's people protesting mosque being built in Australia. Police have largely kept apart opposing protesters in Bendigo this afternoon, but isolated clashes did occur. Oh, sorry. So that's what the news report is. You want to listen to it for a few seconds? Sorry. I really like that one. Something racist in blood is life isn't a race. It's really true. Like, I mean, you just say you're a religionist if you're picking on people for their religion. There's not really a word like that. Why isn't there a word called religionist? You know, there isn't. They just say you're a bigot because you're not accepting someone else's beliefs. There should be a word called religionist, and it means you pick on people for their religion. That gets me onto something, and I can finish off on that. You know, the media are, like, obsessed with giving gay people rights and giving feminists rights and that sort of stuff, which is cool. They should. We should all have rights, though, you know. We should just be protecting humans' rights, you know, to do what they want to do. But there are things like people's religion, the rights to their own religion and stuff, and religious people get picked on all the time. Like, lots of people make negative, you know, Christian jokes or negative, like, Scientology jokes or something like that, or... it's just like people are so concerned about saying something racist, you know, about a black person, ooh, or something about a gay person, ooh, and like, and then it's just like, you know, you could just bag out someone who's a Scientologist, you know what I mean? Like, that's fine. You can just totally pick on someone like that, you know, or you can just bag out a Christian, you know. They're just like some things. And again, this is the thing I was just telling about the media, because it's the media's been drilling in the whole racism and the gay thing and the feminism thing, those few points. The media have been brainwashing society on. So it's worked because as a whole, society aren't that negative about those sorts of things, which is great. But, like, they, you know, instead of just fussing so much about those things, how about we, you know, give some other people a chance and people who have religion stop getting picked on and stuff. But it's just like, yeah, you can just say whatever you want, you know, because I know from comedy and that, it's just like, let's say you're talking to some other comedians or whatever, and it's like, you know, be like, ooh, don't say that racist joke, ooh, that gay joke, ooh, don't say that. But then, like, a religion thing, it's just like, yeah, you can just totally say that. It's just like, yeah, it's fine with that. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's just interesting how, you know, the media have created that. And I think all things need to be accepted, not just give gay rights or, you know, thing of rights, just give everyone rights. Gosh, it's been a pretty slow, boring one, hasn't it? So I reckon it's pretty interesting to listen to. So some people in Bendigo were protesting building a mosque, and some other people were... this just gets me onto something. It's just like, look at these people fussing about a mosque, and, like, kids were getting like, damaged permanently for the rest of their life by vaccines. And they're at this thing protesting the building of a mosque. And then the other people at this thing protesting people who are protesting the building of the mosque. And it's just like, what the hell? Like, it's just so silly. It's just like, there's way more important stuff you can be dealing with than some mosque thing. But I understand the people who are concerned about the building of the mosque and that sort of stuff, because I think they feel like Australian and Western sort of culture is just disappearing and the country's getting taken over. And, I guess they like their heritage and they're proud of it, and they don't want these foreigners just taking over with their whole culture and that. And I'm going to say something that's really, really, you know, probably be racist or whatever, or something that's really get me into trouble. But in business, I've dealt with different sort of people, and I do find that the good Aussies that are born here tend to be the best customers to deal with, whereas people from the Middle East, I don't know why, but they're just, when it comes to business, some of them can be problematic to deal with and stuff. I'm just going to say this is just the truth. I've just noticed it across the board. They're either really tight with money and they try and bargain with you, because everyone, like, I know Italians always want to get a bit of a good deal and stuff, which is okay, you know, it's just how they are, it's just part of the culture. And I know Asians are really, really, especially if they're from, like, Thailand or something like that, when it comes to bargaining over price, like, some Chinese people, like, they'll bargain like there's no tomorrow. Like, I remember I had an Indian customer, and it's like, you know, like, they would just totally try so hard to get a good deal, just be crazy and be ridiculous. Anyway, so I just noticed in business that, like, people who are Aussies, like, are just I tend to find it good to deal with and stuff, and like working out prices of jobs and that sort of stuff. Whereas foreigners, and especially these countries where they have this really tight assness with money and this crazy barterness that they have, that just understand. Like I like the way the Italians do it because they just want to get a good deal, and that's just how they are. But they don't do it to the point that it's just utterly ridiculous. Whereas some of these other cultures and stuff, they just go crazy. So I have noticed that some people who are Muslim or from that part of the world are a bit like the Asians, where like the bartering is just annoying. And I mean, this might sound racist, but if I was going to start up a small business, I'd prefer to do it in an area that's full of Aussies, basically, because it's easier dealing with them than that. Maybe if I was Arabic, I would probably want to set up in an Arabic area, you know, because I could speak their language and get along with them. Or maybe I wouldn't have a problem with the way, because if I was Arabic, I would understand how they deal and that sort of stuff. But it's just like, when it comes to business, I just find it annoying how they go about their business. Not all of them, but some of them are like that. And I'd prefer to have Aussie customers, to be honest. So I understand how some people might have a problem with them and might not want them to take over their town, because they've probably gone to similar experiences with me where they would prefer to deal with Aussies. And I recently heard of someone who wanted to get their car painted, and they took them to some people, and these people were in a part of town where there's more foreigners than that, and I think they were Indian or Middle Eastern or something. And they ended up leaving their car with them for a week, and then they ended up getting totally ripped off, and the job was just terrible. And just, there's a whole long story to it I'm not going to say, but just the person got totally screwed over. And, you know, like that tends to happen more with people who are foreigners, basically. I mean, I know it sounds totally racist, but, you know, like totally, yeah, you could totally get ripped off by Aussies as well, but, you know, it happens more often with them. And so, you know. There, that's it's not racist. It's just noticing that different races have different stuff going on. Like, for example, I think in Australia, if you look up people who are Sudanese, for example, they're living in Australia, and you look up some stat, and it would say like the average Sudanese person has, let's say, 5% of them are in jail, and then you look at the average white Australian, and it says like 1% of them are in jail. And like, I'm not, again, it's not being racist, I'm just staying a fact. The police know, you can go up and ask the police from areas where Sudanese people live, and the police will tell you, yeah, these Sudanese people tend to get in trouble with the police a lot. And it's just like, I don't know, it's something from where their country is from and stuff, and their culture, they tend to be a bit more criminalistic, you know. And and I'm friends with a dude that's like Sudanese and that, and he's cool and stuff. But just, there does seem to be high rates of crime amongst certain groups. And as a copper, if I was a copper, I wouldn't discriminate or anything. But you do just notice certain things, you know. And so it's just like the media are just like obsessed with racism and would say, you know, would take something that I said and say, yeah, it's racist and all this sort of stuff. It's just like, no, it's just looking at the information and saying this is what's going on, you know. And, you know, I like all races and stuff. I do acknowledge that there are some cultures and stuff where there tends to be more crime and that sort of stuff. It's just like the same as there are some cultures that are better at music than other cultures or something like that. Or let me try and think, like, okay, like Asians are good at maths. That's just a pure fact. We can't deny it. Don't try and say I'm a racist for that, all right? See, I have to defend myself. It's because of the media and that. Like, I'm just so, like, obsessed with, like, picking on people and that. So, yeah, so Asians are better at maths. And so there are other cultures that are more likely to get in trouble with the police. There, that's it. Said it. So, you know, don't try and call me a racist. I'm just trying to label how it is. This is just the truth of what's going on. And so I understand how some people might have problems with a mosque being built in their town, but I do reckon that people should be allowed to practice their own religion, have their own church and that sort of stuff, and keep to themselves. And yeah, anyway, Well, that looks like that's the end of the podcast. It's gone over an hour now, and so I covered a few different things. We talk about voices, read an article about voices in people's heads and how it could be some sort of them communicating to dead people or God or angels or something from another dimension or something else going on, which is quite interesting, and how to not fight the voices or whatever and be good to them. We saw how the psychiatric industry just made it worse on those people who were hearing voices, and that it's not good for them to get electric shock, and that sort of stuff just makes things worse. And then also there was an article about Kevin Rudd being a megalomaniac, thinking he's awesome, too awesome. And I spoke a little bit about Socrates and how he discovered that there were lots of these people who were megalomaniacs in his time, basically, and they didn't really know anything. They were just pretending like they know stuff. And not just that, not just that they were pretending that they knew stuff, that they probably legitimately thought that they knew stuff. That's why they're so crazy. And apparently the studies that show that the more smart people think they are, the dumber they actually are. And the more dumb they think they are, the smarter they actually are. You know what I mean? Because it's just like a person who's really, really dumb. A person who thinks they're really, really smart wouldn't bother to do anything to improve themselves because they already think they're awesome. So they end up actually being really dumb. Whereas a person who's dumb works hard to get smart. You know what I mean? But that's a really interesting study. But yeah, so that's it. That was interesting. Read out the news and that. And sort of look forward to next week. Wonder what's going to happen. Kind of feel like it's a bit cheating when I go and just read the news like that, because I don't. It's a bit more of a challenge when I sit there and go, boom, okay, I got to talk about something for an hour, and I have no newspaper thing to bounce off. But yeah, see what happens next week. And that's me, Andy Nauch, signing out. The Space Cowboy, protecting freedom for you and me. No!